I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read the first 14 verses. Last week we talked about banquets. Today we're going to read about a banquet. But we're also going to take, I think, perhaps maybe a little different approach this time. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they had found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Many are called, but few are chosen. Very common phrase that we use, obviously, in church. We just read it. But how many times outside of church have you heard somebody use that phrase and say, "Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen"? The Marines have a variation on that. The few, the proud, the Marines. Or the older slogan was, "The Marines are looking for a few good men." And no offense to Billy or anyone else who might have connections with the Marines. I once made a co-worker of mine, I used to get, pick at him. I know that surprises you. But I used to pick at him and make him angry. He was David Downs. He was a Marine. You never say former Marine. He was a Marine. He used to go back to Paris Island whenever he got vacation, which I thought was kind of different. But that's where he would spend his vacations, at Paris Island. And one time I looked at him, I said, "You know, David, I'm sorry that you didn't quite cut it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, it says Marines are looking for a few good men, and you didn't stay with them, so..." And then I turned and ran, because he was bigger than me. But we have those variations of things that we use. However, I want us to look at this parable and this whole phrase, "Many are called, but few are chosen," in a slightly different way, as you might notice from the title of the musings this morning, "Many Called, Few Choose." Because I think that is really a part of what these parables, or this particular parable, happen to be about. As I said, last week we looked in Luke at a banquet. But the marriage feast in Matthew that we have read from this morning is a parable that comes strictly from Matthew's particular source and Matthew's particular perspective. And it concerns those who are part of the kingdom of God, or better yet, who choose to accept the invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God. Here, there is a story with a king who holds a wedding banquet. Now, this would not have been lost on Matthew's audience, nor on Jesus' audience when he spoke about kings. Because the Jews to whom Jesus spoke, and the Jewish Christians to whom Matthew is writing, are impressed by royalty. That's why in the Christmas story in Matthew, we have the Magi, the kings as we call them, because that would be very impressive to those Jewish and Jewish Christian readers to whom Matthew is writing. As the parable opens, this particular king has prepared a feast. His son is getting married. He's prepared a banquet. And after spending all that money, I feel his pain. Now, after spending all that money, I can understand that he's upset when some folks aren't coming. Especially when all the folks that were invited aren't coming. Makes you wonder what kind of friends he and his son had. But this parable opens, he's got this feast, and so he sends out, it's prepared, he sends out his servants to tell everybody that's been invited, it's time to come. The feast is prepared. We need to understand that in Jesus' day, attending a wedding feast was a major social obligation. Even more so than if you're in high society today. It was a major social obligation, especially if you were invited by a king or a social superior. Going was not an option. Excuse me, not going was not an option. Going was required or expected. And so this king, sending out to those special guests, expects them to arrive. The servants go and call on them, and they all send back word that they're not coming. But they're not coming. In fact, the word used here in the text indicates an ongoing rejection of the invitation. They don't just say no once, but they say no over and over and over again. He sends out word again and says, listen, I've already prepared the food. The fatted calves have been killed. Everything's been gathered. We've got all kinds of cake. We've got all kinds of food and drink here. The banquet hall has been decorated. You need to come. But they pay no attention. These invitees continue to ignore not only the invitation, but they ignore the one from whom it came. The king. This is a joyful invitation. And yet it turns tragic. Tragic, really, not just for the people who don't come. It turns tragic in some ways for the son and for the father. They're being offered an opportunity to share in the life of the king and his family in a very intimate way. They're given an opportunity to really solidify themselves as the king's people. However, they don't recognize that importance, and they certainly don't recognize the bridegroom. Some are ill-mannered. Some abuse and even kill some of the servants. And the king responds with outrage. Ben Witherington writes, this king responds differently from King Jesus. King Jesus was rejected and rejected and rejected. His invitation was rejected. And rather than responding with outrage, King Jesus responded with grace and with forgiveness, giving even more of a price than simply the cost of the food and the decorations for the banquet. But this king responds with vengeance. A very terrible kind of thing. Now, I know that there are many people who seek to say that, oh, in this parable, the king is God, the son is Jesus, and those who reject are the religious leadership, etc. And while that may be okay, I think what is more important to note here is that this king is different from Jesus. This son is different from Jesus. And while there will be those who reject that ultimately will be destroyed, that's not how Jesus responds to them. Even saying, as nails are being driven into his wrists and through his feet, "Father, forgive." This is similar to a final judgment. But God in Christ will truly forgive the penitent person. Those who return, who come all the way back, and who return to the banquet to which they've been invited. A banquet which isn't just, by the way, pie in the sky by and by, but a banquet which is available now. Nourishment for living now. Then the king sends servants out, more servants out, to get and gather together passers-by. Go out into the streets, into the countryside, into the town, and invite more people and bring them in. And so they do. And guess what? The folks who show up, some of them are good, some of them aren't so good. But then again, is the invitation to Christ's banquet only for those who are good enough? If it was, I certainly wouldn't be a part of it. And there might be some of you who would think, you know, if I had to be good enough, I wouldn't get an invitation. But here, the servants invite those who are good and bad, and they all come and they gather together, both the righteous and the unrighteous. Both type of unlikely guests, by the way, with whom Jesus often affiliated in His own ministry. But guests who, and here's where I come back to my little spin on "many are called, but few are chosen." Guests who choose to come to the invitation, the call. Many were called. Few chose to come. However, there are those good and bad that arrive. And it might seem at first glance that there are very few requirements. After all, those who had been invited early on rejected, so they're rejected. And the king says, go out and grab anybody you can and invite them. So it might seem that there are very few requirements to become a part of the banquet, the marriage feast, the kingdom of God. But we need to be careful thinking that there are no real requirements. A lot of times we think that the only requirement is to walk down and say, "I love Jesus," and that's it. But there's more to it. We have to prepare. And we find that in the second part of the parable. In that part of the parable, the king comes. And he looks at everyone that is gathered. And it's okay that there are some there who aren't of a higher socioeconomic standing. It's okay that they're not all alike. That is fine. However, some were not prepared and did not continue to prepare. You know, I've said it often that we make it way too easy sometimes. But as Ben Witherington writes, while the originally included guests refused to come, and the originally excluded people did come, whoever comes to the messianic banquet must come prepared, as represented by the wearing of proper garments. Now, that doesn't mean that we've got to dress the same way here for church. But what that means is that when we come to that banquet, we need to not only be prepared to become a part of that banquet, but we also need to be prepared to participate in the life we get in that banquet. Not just come and sit back and eat and loosen our tie or loosen our belt and say, "Boy, I sure did pack it on tonight. I really overate. And I remember a fellow by the name of Bill Apple. I said that one time at another church in North Carolina. I just was packing it in and packing it in. I said, "Phew." Walking by him, I said, "Boy, I've eaten way too much." He looked at me and said, "Nobody's fault but your own." So every now and then, I'm reminded of that. If I say, "Boy, I sure ate way too much," somebody, no names mentioned, will say, "Well, you know what Bill Apple said?" I said, "Yeah, nobody's fault but your own." Now, the king comes in, and he sees this guy without the proper wedding garments. He says, "Wait a minute, what are you doing here? Where are your wedding garments?" The guy just sits there floored. Why? Because he had not come prepared. Not just prepared to be there in his garments, but prepared to participate in what was being offered. And he is sent out. The life to come cannot be entered except in a proper spiritual condition. We have to be ready and willing to do that. The man without the garments is cast out. And the parable ends by saying, "Many are called, but only some are chosen." The Greek word poloi means many or all. And I tend to take it the other way, not many, but all. For you see, God, the text says, wishes later on that no one perish. All receive a call from God. All of us. All the folks outside of this building receive a call from God to come to the banquet. But somebody has to make a choice. And we're not talking about predestination here when it says many are called but few are chosen. The emphasis is not on predestination but on those who are called, their failure to be prepared, not the king's failure to provide the opportunity. The original group invited excluded themselves. They were not excluded by the king. They excluded themselves by not responding to the invitation given, by not responding to that call to be part of the messianic banquet and the kingdom of this king. The term "the elect" in Matthew is most often a euphemism for those who truly respond to Jesus' call and follow Him. It's not that they have been selected by God over and against others, but rather they have elected to follow that call. Therefore, they are among those who are Christ's followers, both in word and in action. And that is really the challenge for us. And it's not just about that initial response to that invitation or that call to become part of the kingdom. But it is the ongoing call that is uttered by that king, or better yet, by the Son, Jesus of Nazareth. The ongoing call to be prepared, to participate in the wedding banquet with joy, with gratitude, but also with commitment. Commitment to be a part of that life and that people, not just one time down an aisle or four or five more times in rededication, but to renew that commitment every single day Those days when we wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord, this is a great day." And those days when we wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." The call is still there. The good, the bad, even the ugly. Sorry. Had to. We're all called. We all have that invitation. All are called. Are you among the few who choose? May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank You. We thank You for the call that You bring to us. And not just that initial call, but the call daily to continue to participate in Your banquet in this world. We ask that You would give us the guidance, the grace, and the strength, not only to answer that first invitation, good or bad, we come daily to renew the call because we choose Your call on our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 676. O Jesus, I have promised. That is part of answering that invitation, that call that God has given to us in Christ. O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. As we sing, may that really be what we mean. And our altar is open. Open for any who would make any decision for Christ to become part of this fellowship, to renew that commitment, to choose to respond to the call today and tomorrow and for the days to follow. Number 676, O Jesus, I have promised.